There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
All right, it's 5:14. It is Drive Live. Two guests with us today for Career Connect. Let me just welcome Shane Phillips from the Phillips Group. Nice to see you, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you with us. And Jamie Liddington is our legal expert. Jamie is a partner, head of employment at Haddiff & Partners. Jamie, good to see you as well.
Great to be here.
Animated discussion during the news between us. You remarked, Shane, on my uniform that I wear, which is perfectly fair. And I would openly admit it's a uniform. So I go for the black polo top and jeans, and that's just the thing I do. The reason is, because it's easy. I go in the cupboard and I think, oh, I'll wear that, and that. I don't have to think anymore. It's not the Mark Zuckerberg thing, much as you may have made that allusion, Jamie, earlier. I haven't quite got to his level. But what surprises me is jeans in the workplace for you, Shane, complete no-no. Absolutely not.
That's correct, yeah. We're a professional services firm. So,
okay.
So, you know, it's a branding, it's a sophisticated service that we provide to boards and CEOs, and you don't waltz into a boardroom in your jeans. So, for example, today you're wearing jeans. I'm sure if Dubai Media Group said, Tim, we'd like you to join our boardroom meeting to discuss, you know, radio and give us a view of what's going on, I would bet a million dirhams you're not going to show up in your black polo shirt.
I would not make that bet. I would not make that bet.
Oh, yeah. If Sheikh Mohammed was there.
No, I mean, clearly I wouldn't. I mean, it's a different... I kind of think that, you know, I feel as though when I'm dressed in suit and tie, I feel a lot more formal. And I feel like this job kind of needs a little bit less formality. I feel kind of uncomfortable in a tie, to be honest with you. I don't mean a lack of formality. I mean I feel less comfortable.
You know we disagree slightly on this.
But you don't go that way at all, do you?
No, this is one thing that Shane and I actually agree on. I do think there's something to be said for having a uniform in terms of going to work. Like children do at school, they put it on. It's simple. You don't think about it. And then when I get home from work, I like to feel like I'm relaxed and I'm in my more casual clothes. And I think I have a work wardrobe and I select something from that. I don't have to think about it. Like you, I have certain things I wear to work and only to work. And then at the weekend, I feel different. But to me, when I get ready in the morning, I do my hair, I put some makeup on, I put something on, and I feel as if that sets me up for who I am in work and in the workplace. And if I had jeans on, I probably wouldn't feel like I was my true professional self. So that's why I do it.
All right. Jamie Liddington is here, a man who wears a suit for a living. That's slightly unfair, but you know what I mean.
not at the weekends, yeah.
Probably not. But, I mean, you do. Even on dress down days, you would wear a suit. For
yeah. I think my thought process is like Natalie's. It puts me in the right mindset. Yeah. And I suppose there's also an element of, you know, lots of meetings can pop up at any time. So I'd rather be in a suit and just be ready rather than having to take something into the office and change just in case there was a meeting.
You have taken your tie off today, which is nice. So
This is informal for me.
Yeah, okay. But Shane, there is just no way that jeans would work in any way. Somebody texted in, an old-fashioned view from you. Attitudes like these need to change. Nothing wrong with jeans. Steve says that.
Sure. I mean, and maybe for his profession, that's fine. Mm. But I think the main piece about your career and your job is communication. And so you really want to be cognizant of what the subconscious messages that you are sending. So only 20% of our communication is verbal. So, you know, when you walk into your boss's office or you walk into someone's office, what is the message you're communicating? It's not just the words that are coming out of your mouth. So if Steve is saying, you know, maybe a more casual dress is appropriate. It could be. I don't know what he does. But if you're in a professional services, and the original four professions was lawyer, doctor, accountant, and clergy. Mm. Now, if you're in one of those, you probably don't want to show up in jeans. You know, if your doctor is wearing jeans and a t-shirt and he's like, well, we're going to be cutting open your skull today. I don't know how comfortable you're going to be with that. So
it's a fairly extreme example, isn't it?
Well,
it's a fair point. Yeah. Okay. It's very much about personal brand. It's something you come back to a lot. That's quite an interesting point, I think, because my guess is your personal brand, brand NLT, is probably on the face of it more serious than mine. Maybe actually it is more serious
on the face of it. Do you just mean it really is more serious than you?
But you know what I mean? But I take that point.
Yeah.
That's reasonable.
But I think that is reflective of our personalities anyway. So I think, yeah, I completely agree.
All right, then. That's the first bit of not dealing with disruption, which is what we're going to come back to now. But I should make the point that Jamie is here. Jamie Liddington is our legal expert. If you have a legal question, it's to do with your employment, gratuity, something in that arena. Get in touch with us. If you want to talk dealing with disruption, we're also going to hear from Shane Phillips.
This is Drive Live
on Dubai i103.8.
I want to talk about disruption today and disrupting and disruptors, but it seems to all be about personal brands. Lots of texts in about what you should wear or perhaps shouldn't wear at work. Maybe suits are a thing for some people, not for others. Really depends a lot on your job, I think, NLT.
It does depend on your job, but I think you can't escape the fact that whatever you decide to wear, you do put out a message about yourself. The word that you hate using is brand. You sort of recoil when anyone says your uniform is a brand. Mm. But ultimately, by deciding on a polo shirt and jeans in one colour every single day, you are giving us a message about who Tim Elliott is.
What is that message? How would you read that message?
I'm consistent,
okay. Dull?
I didn't say dull. I said consistent.
All right, I'll read between the lines. You say the words and I'll say what you really mean. Consistent, dull.
And, yeah. You like one colour. Like
no, it's just to make it easier. This is the thing. I think it's a really interesting point. Suits used to be good, but now people are working more than 12 hours a day. They need to be comfortable. Nobody in Silicon Valley wears suits. Ahmed observes that. That is a point. I mean, then I suppose you can always find a more comfortable suit, a more comfortable material, Shane Phillips.
Well, no, really what you're looking at Silicon Valley is that those are real manual laborers, a lot of them. Just because they're computer programmers and they're not carrying a wrench and hammer, people are saying, oh, but that's really a glorified, Mark Zuckerberg or these guys are glorified programmers, which is a manual labor job. So it's quite a casual thing. It's not one of the original professions. So it would make sense. And they're sitting there. They're not necessarily interacting a whole lot. And fine, West Coast has, the whole West Coast of North America has a more casual vibe to it. So if you go on the East Coast, if you're in New York or Toronto or Chicago, it's a much more formal vibe. And these two cultures often clash.
I do agree that you shouldn't be wearing jeans depending on what you do. But like we've talked about, we have a slightly different job. We're talking to different kinds of people. It's a bit more of a casual environment. So I think jeans are acceptable in terms of what we do. But like you said, if you went to go and see a lawyer or if you went to go and see, I don't know. I don't even know how I'd feel about a teacher wearing jeans, to be honest, in a school. I don't know how I feel about that, to be honest.
Teachers do have dress codes. I know that. There is a kind of a level, I suppose, there. Daniel observes, what do you mean you're addressing us without a tie? How preposterous. Jamie's just put his tie back on. He's not, but I'm going to tell you that he's wearing a tie and perhaps the reaction will be slightly better. No white socks, Dave. I'm not in white socks today. Question for you in a second, Jamie. We'll come to that in a moment, but let me just bring in disruption. This is a phrase that we hear all the time these days, and this is essentially a new way of doing business, I suppose, disrupting the old way, Shane, isn't it? How do you deal with it if you're trying to get a job? Do you want to go and be a disruptor or do you want to be disrupted?
Well, I think we're all going to get disrupted whether we like it or not. Maybe the lawyers might be safe, but I'm not sure. So I think, what we're going to see over the next 5 years is the biggest disruption that we've ever had in recorded history. And, it's a major issue in where the world's population is really just going into kind of a vertical hockey stick when you look at population growth, and you actually look at job growth, and it's going the other way. So we're going to have a very weird moment where we'll have the biggest moment of wealth creation in history, complemented by the highest levels of unemployment the world's ever seen. So these two factors will really make it very critical that during the next 5 years that people really pay attention to how they manage their careers and will you position yourself for the future, because it's going to be extremely volatile.
So whatever you're doing now, whatever stage of career you're at, be ready to move on a dime. Be ready to change, because the change is going to come, is what you're saying.
Absolutely. I mean, I was out the other day. They had the ice cream. The ice cream man was automated. So, put your money in and you got the twirly soft ice cream cone and it was gone. It was so sad. You look at most of the taxi drivers, they're probably, they're going to be gone. And so on and so forth. There's so many jobs. My job probably might also be gone, I thought it was interesting in the book Bold, they list, three stages. The first one is demonetization. So if you feel like money is getting squeezed out of the market, Two is dematerialization, which is the removal of the good of service altogether, which is where you kind of lose your job, and democratization, where it actually becomes free. And so we can see that trend, for example, in energy, where you can see the energy prices are now in the demonetization stage. Eventually, solar energy will be so cheap, it'll be free. You'll be putting solar panels. There'll be huts in or houses in Africa. They'll have free energy. Mm. They'll have free internet. They'll have, and this is going to cause a lot of issues. You saw now Bitcoin has now made it free to move money around the world, meaning there's no more banking fees. So, you need to prepare for these changes.
Who understands Bitcoin, though, Shane? That's another question. We were talking about this last week with a person in the legal profession. All right, so you've just painted a doom and gloom picture there. Thanks very much.
Well, I also said it will be the greatest moment of wealth creation in the world. So, countries who have no infrastructure will all of a sudden be able to generate huge amounts of wealth because, they won't be stuck to these legacy systems. So countries like Ethiopia and so on, they will take advantage of these new technologies and they'll be very successful. You'll see people going from living in mud huts to driving Bentleys within 5 or 6 year span. You're seeing billion-dollar companies being built in less than 10 years. So it is one of the greatest opportunities in the world. All the power structures which we know are collapsing. So for example, you take something like Stanford or Cambridge University, where you really had to be from an elite social class 100 years ago to go to these institutions. Today, MIT, and they have all of their classes, all the information free online. You don't get the MIT degree, but you can have the information. So you're seeing these institutions are starting to crack, fracture, and break down, which creates a huge amount of opportunity.
It's very easy to sound clever these days, isn't it? There is so much information at hand. We try it every day, usually without a great deal of success. But, it's quite easy to research that. It didn't used to be like that. So let's come back and talk more about disruption in a second. We have Jamie Lidington here as our legal expert. Some questions in for you, Jamie. We'll come back to those. But if you have something, usual numbers to get in touch with Jamie. And Shane Phillips is here from the Phillips Group.
No matter your preferred communication, stay in touch with Drive Live, only on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Dave texts in just as Sally was finishing the report there. Two accidents, Financial Centre Road exit. That's another area you want to avoid if you can, or at least stay calm if you are in the area. Now, Sports Tonight this evening, you're going to hear from Michael Phelps, the retired swimming legend, the most decorated Olympian of all time. He's been telling Chris McCarney and Robbie Greenfield there's no chance of him making a return to the pool at the 2020 Olympic Games. Now, he initially retired after London 2012, only to renege on that pledge ahead of the Rio Games. So he managed to add, 6 more medals to his haul? So 28.
So impressive, isn't it?
Not such a bad decision, you would think. However, he's been talking to Sports Tonight. You've probably heard a lot about him, but he's here at the launch, or has been here at the launch of the new Under Armour store. That happened. And he's ruled out a return to the Olympics in Japan.
I'm done. For me, look, 5 Olympics is more probably than I ever thought I would be in. And I think after 2012, not having a successful Olympics, in my opinion, I think kind of haunted me for a couple of years. And I was the only one that could, I guess, decide and truly commit to coming back again. And when I did, I knew I was going to do it the right way. And that was the only way to do it.
So no Michael Phelps, Japan 2020. And more from him on Sports Tonight this evening. Right. Back to Career Connect. 2 guests with us.
Career Connect.
Jamie Lidington is answering the legal questions. First, a couple of legal questions. Jamie in a second. Jamie's head of employment at Haddon Partners. And also Shane Phillips is here, managing director at the Phillips Group. You've got the 2 questions.
I do indeed. Jamie, this one is for you. My friend has been terminated. He was working for a DED company and on an unlimited contract. Apart from his gratuity, are there any laws related to how many months of salary he should be paid?
Yeah, so I think, he's referring to an onshore company when he says DED, a non-free zone company, an unlimited term contract. So the labor law would say that the employer would need to show a valid reason for dismissal. Otherwise, the employee can claim up to 3 months' wages as compensation for arbitrary dismissal. So we'd need to know what the reason was, whether it was supported by any evidence, but potentially, depending on length of service and some other factors, the maximum compensation would be 3 months' wages. Okay. Also worth looking at the contract, of course, because the statutory entitlements are only one part, and the contract may provide things like bonuses and other payments that would be triggered by termination.
Okay, we have another one for you. This one's about a free zone. Someone who is employed in the Abu Dhabi free zone and his supervisor threatened to terminate him if he didn't resign. So he resigned. He's currently serving out his 3 months notice. Is there anything this man can do?
Yeah, it's an all too familiar story, really, that kind of pressure to resign. And presumably, I think the company would have done that here because it's then easier to rebut that arbitrary termination risk. You know, they say, well, hang on, this employee resigned instead. Unfortunately, you know, the employee in this case who has resigned, he's going to face a difficult challenge to say that that was under duress, because that would require a more physical harm or threat of physical harm. It would very much depend what type of contract, whether it was unlimited or limited, and what length of service the employee had, because a resignation can result in a reduction to gratuity or, in fact, no gratuity at all. So that's something that we'd need to know.
Questions for Jamie Lidington today. If you'd like a legal perspective, text it through 4001. You can use the free app to text for no money, or call us on 423 1010.
I love a phone call. I have a few texts. I do. I like a phone call to this show, just not to my house, because I hate those. Anyway, I digress. What I wanted to tell you is we've had quite a few texts about our uniform and what we wear to work. Dr. Carthy, making the point here. Hi, I don't crack skulls, but I am a dentist. Arguably, you do crack skulls. Dentists can be quite painful.
I bet he has cracked a few. Yeah.
For the past 22 years, I do wear jeans and an informal shirt to work at times. Nothing wrong with that. I don't like a tie for everyday work. Maybe for a conference, I'm with Tim.
However, and I'm going to come out in support of Shane on this, because I bet he's wearing one of those dentist, like, not
tabards,
like lab coats.
Type things.
Tabard?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called?
I don't know. Sounds like it.
Tabards? Do dentists wear tabards? There's a question. 4001 on the answer to that. But I bet he's wearing one of those white things over the top. So jeans with that, I guess, Shane. That automatically gives you a I am a dentist look, doesn't it? So it supports your theory.
And he also said at times, which is a key verbiage to note. So it's,
key verbiage.
Adil says, front-end customer-facing job, be formal. Back-end job, wear what makes you relax to perform. And that's arguably, like you said, with the computer programming. That is essentially, while you're doing labor, jeans are fine.
Thoughts on that?
Yeah, but it's on your branding. You know, how do you want to brand yourself? So it's not just what you're wearing. It's also the language. How are you speaking? So we just heard Phelps talking, and he was saying, like, you know, like when I wanted to be in the, you know, so he was speaking in a very casual way. And that's fine for an athlete. You know, is that the same thing for a brain surgeon? It's definitely not okay for a professor. So your type of language you use, the type of clothes you wear. Some people still may wear a tie. A dentist may wear a tie, but it definitely would be a lot more casual. They wouldn't wear the same colors as, say, as a banker would. So, you know, and you look at actually marketing person, they may wear a suit, but they might wear a much lighter shade of suit. So the shade of your suit, the language, the way you speak, these are all parts of your branding. And when you come to the table to manage your career, you should be very cognizant of how you're branding yourself. What's your brand? Because culture and brand, the intangibles of business, are so infinitely more powerful than the tangibles, which is what you're physically delivering. So, for example, the rhetoric that surrounds the way you do your job is more important than actually the output of your job itself. So if you take a look at the Trump presidency, he has actually created more jobs than any president, you know, debatably. His actual track number on the tangibles is very high. But his rhetoric is so absolutely bad that it overrides anything he does. Positive is completely overridden by the way his rhetoric is so bad. The language he uses, the way he approaches his dialogue is so negative, it just washes out any tangible result he delivers. And your career is the same way. So if you're not paying attention to these things, you really should.
Okay, could you, let me ask you a question then. You wear a suit, you always look very smart, you always have a waistcoat, your top button is generally always done up, you're well presented, Shane. Do you feel, cufflinks, that's a good point, and they are great cufflinks too.
Thank you, but my wife got them.
the recently married Shane Phillips. But you, so you feel the same way and you have an attitude when you're dressed in that way. Do you think that if you dress down, it reflects on how you perform? Does it actually have an effect on how you perform at work?
Absolutely. I mean, I think if you're dressed well, you look good, you feel good, you're going to perform better, you know. So if I'm working from home, I will be in a suit. People need to realize it's much easier to act yourself into good thinking, right, than to think yourself into good acting.
So if you didn't go into the office, say you had something to do and you worked from home in the morning until midday, went in after lunch, whatever, you would be wearing what you're wearing now at home. So even though you don't need to be, nobody can see.
Yeah, take two scenarios. You want to get a bunch of work done. You wake up at 4:30 a.m., have your coffee, boom, you're going to be very productive. Now, you can either be in your pajamas working until 11, or you wake up 4:30, jump in the shower, shave, put your suit on, freshly pressed shirt, tie, boom, and you're into it like, you know, a racehorse just out the straightaway.
Someone's texted in and said Shane's a few decades behind when concerning dress codes. But I do really take your point. You put yourself in the frame of mind, in the mood. If you walked in next week and you had jeans and a t-shirt on, I would be shocked. And would I maybe respond towards you in the same way that I do every week? I'd try my best, but mentally I'd be thinking, what's going on with Shane? What's up? I would be thinking, what's up with Shane? He never dresses like that. What's going on?
I suppose so. No, I'm just interested that you would do that at home when nobody can see you. I would kind of contend that if you're there and nobody can see you, surely it's about mindset rather than how you're perceived. How has your mindset changed? How does it change by putting on a suit? I don't understand that. Well, if I need to work, I do the work. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing.
No, well, you even have the phrase, put your thinking cap on. So obviously it's part of our language, even to that point that...
Well, it is. But I mean, specifically, how does helping...
I mean, just take
suit,
something simple, even not work. Go to the gym. Go to the sports store, buy yourself a new workout outfit, and then see how much better your workout is.
Okay.
You know, new sneakers. We've all done that. You think you run faster for some reason. Everybody in this room has done that at some point. You know,
I haven't, but anyway.
You know, and as people get older, I think you regress back, because my dad's retired now and he went and gets his new sneakers on and he starts running around the sports store like he's going faster. So it's a clear correlation. You know, you feel great. You especially even if you lose weight, for example. Now I'm a couple, probably don't want to say how many kgs, but I'm definitely could lose a few pounds. Now if I lose, say for example, 10 kgs, it's going to actually also affect my performance. My self-esteem will go up. My self-confidence will go up. I'll have more energy. I'll be more into it. So for example, if you're going to a job interview, change your socks, change your tie. That can also help give some energy, you know. Okay. And I definitely think it's definitely important. And everybody's wearing a uniform, whether they want to admit it or not.
Ali says, dress how you want to be addressed. I like that.
Which is the last one on this for now. We need to come back and talk about disruption, I think. Also, questions in for Jamie. There are two more that have just popped up now. We'll come back and answer those in a sec. Jamie Lidington, Shane Phillips here on Career Connect.
We want to hear from you. Find us on Facebook. Tweet at Dubai Eye 1038 FM.
I fear we're going to have to come back to disruptions because the personal branding, what you wear to work, what you don't wear to work, it's kind of taken over.
Yeah, we're getting lots of texts. We also are getting lots of questions for you, Jamie. There's one about annual leave. He says, I have applied for leave three times, for annual leave rather. I've had all three rejected. By the time it reaches 31st of December, I will have gone 12 months without leave. What's his position?
Yeah, the labour law does entitle employers to decline leave requests, but it should be where there's a need to do so, you know, the work requires the person to remain. That leave can carry over from 1 year to the next, so the full entitlement, 30 calendar days leave under the labour law, can be carried forward from the year in which you accrue it until the following year. But if it's not used in that following year, then it's lost. So I think the employee just needs to remain a bit dogged and say, you know, if we start getting through towards the kind of 24-month point that actually, no, I have to take it now. Otherwise, it's going to be lost.
What about when you join a company? When are you entitled to, say, take some holiday? Is it 12 months you have to see out? Is it penned? Is it a negotiation?
The employer is entitled to refuse leave for the first 6 months.
Okay.
And then it accrues at 2 days per month after that point.
All right, then. That's another question next.
Okay, there's another one that says, hi, I own a free zone company specialised in learning and development solutions. Some of my clients are requesting me to base my resources, who are fully dedicated to their accounts, at their offices. Is this legal for both my clients and I in case of authorities checks?
I think it depends what they mean by base in terms of how permanent that is, because, you know, the legislation framework between employment and immigration rules here is intended to keep close tabs on where people are and movement of workers. So in theory, we should be working from the licensed premises of our sponsoring employer and not from any other place of work. But, you know, certain jobs, for example, as a lawyer, I go to clients' offices. If there was an inspection at that time, that would be totally understood that I'm there to provide services. If there was somehow some clues that I show up there every single day for the last year, that would send some
photos of the kids on the desk.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah, I'm on the org chart. Yeah. So.
Okay, there's another question we have about a contract. I'm on an unlimited contract. It's nearing 2 years, as in my visa is up for renewal every 2 years. What are my options if my company does not renew it?
Yeah, we were a bit puzzled by this because, you know, when you hear of renewal, you think of fixed term contracts. It may be, as you say, Natalie, that we're just talking about the residence visa side of it, but residence visa renewal is different to the employment relationship. So if it is an unlimited term contract, then it's not a matter of renewal. It continues until either party gives notice in accordance with the contract terms or 30 calendar days minimum.
So it's just up to the employer to continue with the visa, whether it's a 2-year or annual visa.
Yeah.
That's separate to what you're
exactly. If you don't terminate the employment before that renewal date, then the employer is going to need to renew it as the sponsor.
Okay. We're talking about dress codes at work. For some reason, the topic today was disruption, but I think we got a little bit carried away. But lots of interest. If you dress up, then you give a perception of care and seriousness. If you're sloppy, your work is sloppy. Yes, text in. Agreeing with you, Shane. There's another one. I agree with Shane. I work from home. And this is the example that you made there. I work from home. I've recently switched from pajamas to a formal attire. My productivity has not just gone up, it's skyrocketed, says Alex.
Thank you. It's great. Well, I'm glad, Alex. It's dressed up, ready for dress for success. Look like $1 million and make $1 million. I would say, but I would also say, you know, if you're planning on making a career move right now or you're looking at doing anything, I think you should be very careful, because I think the job market as we move into the first quarter in 2018 will be very, very tough. So these issues of branding and positioning yourself and thinking about your career are really, really important. You know, if you have 5 people on the team and you're going to sack one, who are you going to, and the performance is all the same, but one of them is sloppy and stinks and everything else, who's going to get sacked, right? So you don't want to be the sloppy, stinky person.
I guess that should be a rule in life, Shane. But
you would think. You would think. You know? It definitely should be a rule for getting on airplanes, I'll tell you that.
That's a whole other issue. But they do say that there is that sort of rule, dress for the job you want, not the job you have as well, to be aspirational, to look at maybe how other people are dressing and see how you fit in a company. Because if everybody is in jeans and you turn up in a suit, again, you're alienating yourself and sending out a different message. So I think there is, you know, you have to look at where you're working, how you fit into the system, but also you really need to be comfortable. You're very comfortable dressing like that. If maybe we made Tim dress like that, he would be uncomfortable and that would affect his performance. So I think you have to find a balance of how comfortable you are and what you've got on as well.
Absolutely. I don't think you should ever, you know, they say you shouldn't dress better than your boss. So you got to take the tone from the top and look at it. You know, if your boss is wearing a hoodie and jeans, then, you know, everything I said, you just throw it out the window.
There's an admission for you. There's a poll on Twitter, the Dubai Twitter feed at the moment on this, by the way, and it is 50-50. It's neck and neck. So there is some agreement with you today. Shane, it'd be interesting if you've got an opinion on this. Go and vote on Twitter now. A rumour says, I'm very surprised by your last answer. This is for you, Jamie. All contracts non-free zone are 2 years validity, whether unlimited or limited. I don't know if that's the case or not. Labour contracts and approvals, not visas, says a rumour.
Yeah, we're going to have to disagree about this one, I'm afraid, because, you know, an unlimited contract continues until one party gives notice.
But that's the point of the unlimited, isn't it?
That's right. A limited term contract has a fixed period. Now, residence visas are granted for a 2-year period, typically, and that needs to be renewed. There's a work permit renewal that goes along with that, but the employment doesn't terminate simply because a residence visa renewal process doesn't happen. You have to separate the immigration considerations from the employment ones.
All right, then. That's pretty much it on Career Connect today. Next week, dealing with disruption. We'll probably come round to the topic at some point. Shane Phillips, for your thoughts today, much appreciated. Nice to see you, Shane.
Thanks for having me.
Good to have you here. And Jamie Liddington is our legal expert today, has been answering questions. Jamie is partner, head of employment at Haddeth and Partners. Good to have had you here, Jamie.
Thanks very much.
Good to see you.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.